my friends, and welcome into another edition of the JMAC Update. So glad that you are here. Today is kind of a potpourri of different stories, so you're going to want to listen all the way to the end. Some about COVID, but others just kind of strange stories out there. We'll start off with a claim of child pornography. Somebody saying that their image as a child was being used for child pornography. And you have probably seen the image. In fact, I wonder who hasn't seen the image. I'm going to show it to you. Here it is. This is the cover of a Nirvana album. And this young child is there swimming in the pool, and it's all hanging out. Now, there's a post-it note over what actually is a dollar bill kind of dangling in the pool. So this is now being accused of as being child pornography. And the reason why that's so interesting is because the person who is claiming that it is child pornography is the person in the picture. This is Spencer Eldon. He's now 30 years old. He's the one who was naked in the swimming pool. This is the album Nevermind. It came out in 1991. And apparently Spencer has done appearances and made this kind of his claim to fame. Well, he's now suing the band, saying that the image was pornographic. Listen to this from the legal papers. The images expose Spencer's intimate body part and lasciviously displayed his genitals from the time he was an infant to present day. It says non-sexualized photos of infants are generally not considered child pornography under U.S. law. However, Eldon's lawyer, Robert Y. Lewis, argues that the inclusion of the dollar bill, which was superimposed after the photograph was taken, makes the minor seem like a sex worker. Yeah. Not just a baby swimming after a dollar bill. It's a sex worker. Are you buying this? Anybody? I'd love to hear your comments to see if you agree. I'm going to just guess that most of you do not. If you do agree, I'd love to know about it. We do, unfortunately, live in a time now. 1991 was a very different time. But we live in a time now where you don't want to post pictures. You know, we used to have... How many parents have pictures of their children in the bathtub? Yeah, with everything hanging out. And now we're taught don't post those because of just the evil, despicable people that are out there. So it's a totally different time than it was back then. And to suggest that the dollar bill makes this child pornography, I'm just like, okay, wow. This does seem like a dollar grab to me, but not a dollar grab that has anything to do with child pornography, if you know what I mean. And this is an interesting story that really caught me off guard. You know, I love technology and I'm always following tech. And I guess if you would have asked me, I would have said this is possible, but I would have also said I didn't know of anybody doing this. Did you know that TV manufacturers can brick your TV remotely? In other words, they can make it not work. Specifically, Samsung can do this. We learned this because Samsung South Africa announced recently that the serial numbers of TV sets stolen from a warehouse in Johannesburg had been flagged for shutdown. Any of the sets that come online will be remotely bricked, and they can't be activated unless they go online. The TV blocking system has been activated on Samsung television sets stolen from our warehouse. This is from Samsung's statement. The blocking will come into effect when the user of a stolen television connects to the internet in order to operate the television. Once connected, the serial number of the television is identified on the Samsung server, and the blocking system is implemented, disabling all the television functions. Should the customer's TV be incorrectly blocked, the functionality can be reinstated once proof of purchase and a valid TV license, whatever that is shared with this email at Samsung. There's a couple of things that are very interesting to me here. First, that they can brick your phone. They can brick your TV. And the second is that the TV is, in order to operate, according to this, has to be able to connect to the internet. What if I don't want to connect it to the internet? I will tell you, most TVs that you buy nowadays, they're smart TVs. But I don't use the smart TV features. I don't hook my TVs up to the internet because I have a box. In this case, I have an Apple TV hooked up to the device, and the internet is hooked up to the Apple TV. So I don't hook it up to the internet. Are you telling me the TV is not going to work if I don't hook it up to the internet? What about people who don't have internet? So that seems strange to me. And can you see somebody holding your TV hostage, hackers getting in and bricking your TVs and demanding that you pay them in some type of situation where your TV is held hostage, ransomware situation? This is all very interesting to me. Share in the comments what you think about it. And then I did find a story about potential voter fraud. Now, voter fraud is an important issue. I've told you there have been examples of individual cases of voter fraud, probably in every state. But there have been no cases of proven, verifiable, widespread voter fraud enough to be able to swing even a single county election nationwide. But this story did catch my eye because there are some really important questions here. And a lot of people are going to say, see, and I'm just going to say, no, this is one example. This doesn't prove anything, but it is of note. And so I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to share it with you. Police are investigating the recovery of 300 California recall ballots in a man's car. He was passed out in the car when they found him. Police in California, as I said, are investigating. This is in the recall election of Gavin Newsom. Officers with the Torrance Police Department took custody of the ballots from the car of a suspect who have been reported for sleeping in his vehicle in a convenience store parking lot. The ballots appeared to be in a box, but they were also kind of strewn across the back seat of the vehicle. And so there was just a large portion of mail in that back seat. They said the ballots were unopened and that most of them were addressed to people living in the city of Lawndale and Compton. So this is an important question. Where did he get the ballots? What was he going to do with the ballots? These are important questions to ask. Just because we don't have any proven, verifiable examples of widespread voter fraud doesn't mean that we shouldn't be watching for them and always shoring up our systems and making sure that our elections are secure. So that jumped out to me. I thought I would share it with you. Now, a couple of COVID stories. You've got a lot of companies trying to figure out how are we going to get our employees to get vaccinated. And they've got a couple of reasons why they want their employees to be vaccinated. First, to protect themselves, the owners of the business, the management of the business, to protect fellow employees, also to protect customers, but also to be able to send that marketing message that you can be safe when you come into our establishments. Some businesses are outright requiring it. Others are incentivizing vaccination. And others are de-incentivizing not getting vaccinated. So I'll give you an example here. This is Delta Airlines. They have announced that they will make its unvaccinated workers pay. How will they pay? Well, in a memo sent to the company's 74,000 employees, CEO Ed Bastian announced, oh, you probably want to see the story, announced that beginning November 1st, unvaccinated workers would be charged a $200 monthly surcharge on their health insurance. $200 a month. He said, I know some of you may be taking a wait and see approach or waiting for full FDA approval. He said, with this week's announcement that the FDA has granted full approval for the Pfizer vaccine, the time for you to get vaccinated is now, or you will pay. About 75% of Delta's workforce is already vaccinated, according to the airline. The company announced in May that it would require all new hires to be vaccinated. What do you think about not mandating it, but charging more to their insurance? Kind of makes sense. I mean, if it's certainly going to affect their insurance rates if you don't get vaccinated, because you can spread it to other people. You may face greater medical bills. So there is a logical connection there. I just wish that we could just somehow get to the place where everybody who can get a vaccine does get a vaccine, because it's the right thing to do. And then this story is about incentivizing getting the vaccine. And this is the story I'll end on today in the JMAC update. This is from the Seattle Times. Staff at a jail in South Central Washington State have come up with an inexpensive but effective way to encourage those incarcerated there to get a COVID-19 vaccine. What is the incentive? Ramen. That's all it takes. Since the first of the month, the Benton County Jail has been giving away one of its most popular commissary items to people who sign up for their first COVID shot, ramen noodles. By Monday, the jail will have given out 900 packets of noodle soup to 90 people. The offer is advertised around the jail with flyers featuring a larger-than-life photo of seasoned wavy noodles and a headline that says, Soups for Shots. To encourage and support COVID vaccination efforts, the Benton County Department of Corrections will be providing each inmate that starts their vaccination series with 10 free ramen noodle soups, according to the poster. We're doing everything we can to incentivize vaccination, and we are getting an outstanding response, they said. Anyone in the jail, no matter how long their stay, is eligible for the program if they have not been immunized yet. The Benton County Jail has shared information about the program with other jails in the state. I'm curious, is 10 packets of ramen noodles enough if you haven't decided to get the vaccine yet? Is that enough? Is that what's finally going to put you over the edge? Or is it $200 extra a month for insurance? Again, I just lament the fact that we have to go through all of this stuff to convince people to protect their own health and the health of everyone around them and the health of our economy and the health of our nation. That's really sad to me. Really, really sad. Hey, that's the JMAC update. Do me a favor, support this podcast. And if you do, you're going to get great, cool rewards and prizes. Go to jmcfarland.com, click on Join the Club, choose the level of support that you want to contribute, starting at just $5 a month, and you'll get access to commercial-free broadcasts. You'll get access to content that is only released to members, weekly content. You'll get access to comment and chat that is only available to members. And if you come in at higher levels, you get access to my books, my webinars. So many of you have already been patrons and been contributing, but you didn't really get anything extra. So I thought, let's create a system where I can reward you with more than just this content that I offer for free. So please, that will help me bring more content to you. It'll help me pay for all of the expenses that are involved in bringing this broadcast to you, go to jmcfarland.com and join the club. You know you want to. You know you do. With that, everybody, thank you and have a wonderful day.